I'd like to explain, first of all, I mean, the most, first and foremost, the most important thing is, what exactly are we being doed for in the loss of the bias, Chorban HaBayis? Okay. I mean, is it simply in the fact that we lost the Mikdash, lost certain mitzvot that we can't do anymore? I mean, is it the loss of Talmidei Chachamim? I mean, so you could say, okay, so you have Torah today, so you don't have the Mikdash. Like the Rav one time mentioned, that as far as he's concerned, the fact that there's no Mikdash doesn't really make much difference, because he knows Zvachim Menaches, he has Zvachim Menaches, and the Mikdash is still alive and well in the area of learning and the theoretical, and that's really the essence of the mitzvah, is always in the area of Chachma. So what is the real loss? I mean, Chazal say if a person learns the Kabbalah as if he's marked with the Kabbalah. so what is the loss? I mean, that's the question that I think must be understood clearly if you want to have an idea of what it means that we're being doeg on the Chorban. What exactly means it being doeg on the Chorban? And what is the loss, really? Simply a matter of a few... is it a matter of an accumulation quantity of certain things that we're missing? Was there one idea, I mean, one essential idea that we must know in order to understand what the Chorban HaBayis really is? Okay, I'd also like to explain a Ramban. I mean, the Ramban is found in many places. But the Ramban says in the Chukosa, he says a few other places too, he says, V'atam bozeh, he says, Ki abrocha yisahein, Afa pishahein nisim. He says, even though these brachas are nisim, name and anisim on his star. Shall call a Torah malaya mehen. The hidden miracles that the Torah is filled with. Kasher pirashi. He says, V'heim afilu liyochid oved. And this is also even for yochid that serves God. Ki kasher yiyo ish hechosid shomer kol mitzvah Hashem aloi kov. Yishmerei lokeo menachuli. Vo'akros vashiku v'yemalu yomov v'tevach. His days will be filled with good. An individual is for an individual, and it's also for the klal. So he says, these are the, for instance, v'nasati kishmechem be'itom, says the Ramban says in Bo, that it's not, that's not the derech ha-teva, that the gisham should fall in the right time. So he says, that's an ace, but it's part of the Torah's nisim manistarim. So my question simply is, what's the difference between nisim anistarim and nisim aguyim? It would seem to be an ace is an ace. It is not the derech ha-teva, so then it's an ace. So what's the difference between nisim aguyim and nisim anistarim? But the Ramban says that the Torah really is filled with nisim that are anistarim, that are, I mean, I guess you understand them as being somewhat level lower than the, in terms of an ace, than the nisim aguyim. Although it's still higher than the Teva, sort of an in-between status it has. And the question is, I mean, what exactly does that mean? Okay. I'd like to take the, we'll do the Gemara, let's do the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara about Kamsa bar Kamsa. Okay, the Gemara in Gittin is Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis. Alright? Alright, so the Gemara is like this. Amar Rabbi Yechana, my dechsiv ashrei odom mefachei tamid, umatsha libo yipo bera. What does the pasuk mean when it says, happy is the person that's always mefachei, always works? And the person that's matcha libo, that feels secure, that hardens himself against certain realities, is yipo bera. Okay, hold on a second. Yes, okay. So the Gemara is like this. Yeah. Mefache Tamid Tarashi, Mefache Doeg Liros HaNolad, Shalot Te'erat HaKola Bekach, and after those. He says a person, he's concerned about the future to see that he's careful in what he does to Liros HaNolad, to see what might eventuate from his actions. Yeah. So, according to Rashi, it would seem that it means a person that has insight. All right. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Akamsa bakamsa chor v'shalayim, atanagol v'atanagol t'chor of ton malko, nasako the rispe chor of beta. All right. So Taisa says, Taisa starts off like this. He says, the Gemara says in Brachas, the perika ro amin and chaz yalu gavra dav mefache. So, someone saw an individual who was very frightened. Amalei, they said to him, Chatoat, you're a sinner. Yesif pachadu b'tzion chatoim. So chatoa means more than a chote, like the Rav said. Chote means a person doesn't have error. But chatoa means, chote means a person that is seriously involved in chate. So he told this individual, getting my breath in a second, as I told this individual, he said to him that you're seriously involved in chet because you're worried. So why? God says, "Pachadu b'tzion chatoyim." Uparich mikra d'ha'cha. And the Gemara asks a kasha over there from this part. From this part of the Asher Mafachet Tamid, so it's contradiction. Over there it says if you're frightened that you're a sinner, and over here it says that on the contrary, a person that's a mafache, a person that's worried all the time, is a person that's following the right derech, ashrei. He's an individual that's doing the right thing. Asher mafache tamid. So the Gemara says, "Umukila b'divrei Torah, shedoeg shelo yishkach Talmudo v'chozra mishnasa tamid." Okay. So the Gemara says, no, it depends. If you're worried about the loss of Divrei Torah, then it's Asher the Mafachi Tamid. But if you're just worried about Mili D'Alma, what seems the Gemara saying, so then no, on the contrary. So then if you're Mafachi, so then you're a Chote. All right. So the problem is, what about over here? Because over here the Gemara is really going to say, with Kamsa bar Kamsa, the Gemara is going to say that because of a certain attitude that they had, that they weren't mafachid, that's why Yerushalayim was Chorof. So apparently Taisus has a problem. Because over there, the Gemara says, it's strictly speaking about Divrei Torah, and over here you see that's not the case. Because the Gemara is not talking about Divrei Torah over here. The Taisus, so on the surface, these two sugyas contradict each other. The Taisus says, let me see, get me right now. Yeah. It's an interesting Gemara. He goes over there. Gemara says that, Gemara says, "V'sivajim fachet." I'm going to say, "Who would the rhetoric say?" Then the Gemara has another little story. It says that first story is about Rabbi Shmuel Reb Yosef. Okay, second story, the Gemara says, "Is Yirbar Nosna v'Shokol v'Ozel Baser the Rav Amnuna." So Isnach. So he became Isnach means he went like, "Oi." He sighed. Amalei. So he said to him, he said, "Yisurim boy who gavel l'si anafshei." Does this person want to bring Yisurim on himself? Because the Pasuk says, "Piki pachot pachaniti vayes vayani." Vashay yagor to yovel. If a person worries about something, so then that thing will happen to him. So the Gemara asks the same question: "Vaksiv ashi yada mafachei tamid." But the other Pasuk says, on the contrary, that if you're constantly worried that this is very good, this is the proper way. Okay. So the Gemara answers, no, who but the rhetoric says the same thing. So really, so you have over there, you have two statements of the Gemara with regard to two different things. Okay, One is with regard to the pasuk in Yud, and one is with regard to the pasuk Pachadu B'tzion Chatoi. Yeah. So let's just, before we get to taste, let's just try to understand the Gemara. So on the surface, let me change the order a little bit. Yeah. let's take Taisus first, then we'll go to the Gemara. The Taisus question is basically that how is it possible to say the Gemara that says a whole different Torah sitting over here, the Gemara is not talking about different Torah. The Taisus says no. Taisus says Rahinami Maisile Ahani Uvdi Shabotwa Rov Tovasam the Shalvasam Lavayesh is Pakanto the Lama Rabas Kesa Oil and Mafache who died in Apollonius. The taste says, and the Gemara says that a person is mafachim and divrei Torah, it doesn't only mean divrei Torah, but it means something, and divrei Torah really is just an example. But really it means a person that simply is mafachim, mispachim bechinam, that's a person that's a rasha, that's a chotah. But a person that's not mispachim bechinam, so such an individual, on the contrary, did not dafka divrei Torah. The Gemara said in Brachos, "Ahu b'divrei Torah," it doesn't mean only divrei Torah. As a matter of fact, it's, from this text you see that you can't just take a chazal and interpret a pshuta kamashmal. Because if you interpret that chazal pshuta kamashmal, it would mean only divrei Torah. You see, text says no, it doesn't mean that. The Gemara says over here, "Kamta b'kamta chorv shalayim," and that's not really in divrei Torah, and that's merely the alma. So you see that it's worldly things. So you see, the Gemara didn't mean over there when the Gemara said "Ahubid Devrei Torah," it only gave one example. It gave the highest example, but it meant to, what the Gemara meant to say was that a person who was mefached because of rational reasons, because of his chokhmah dictates that there's something to be concerned about. That's good. That's asher adam mefached tamid. A person who doesn't have a false security. And the reason why the Gemara says over there "Ahubid Devrei Torah" is because the Gemara is simply choosing that thing which it is most rational to be concerned about, and that's Devrei Torah. But the truth of the matter is that it's not only Devrei Torah. The Chazal is now Pshuta Kamashma, and the Gemara in Brachos doesn't mean only Devrei Torah, but really means any time that a person should rationally be concerned. So on the contrary, so that's good. That's Asher the Mefachei Tamid. Of course, such a person who lives that way will be Mefachei most of all, since he's a person who is far apparently, what the Gemara is saying is that a person that's Mefachei Tamid is an individual that will be concerned mainly about his Divrei Torah. This will be on a high level. And since he's on that level, what's his major concern? His major concern is going to be Divrei Torah. So that's why the Gemara says, when the Gemara says, "Ahubid Devrei Torah," says, it's really just a very short statement, but the statement really takes in a lot more. What it means is that a person should live a life of chokhmah and rationality, and therefore he shouldn't be overcome by the emotions of a false security. And an individual like that, who lives on that derech, in that manner, in that way, of course, we'll mainly be concerned about Divrei Torah, because that's his primary preoccupation, his primary concern. That's the way Taisus explains the Gemara and Brachos. But so the Akamta Chorv Yishalom was because they abandoned rationality. They abandoned rationality, and they were operating under under an illusion of a. Of security, which was completely false. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. But the Gemara says that two things. First, the Gemara member over there just says that Asher Ahubid Devrei Torah says. Then the Gemara says again that a person that is worried. The pasuk in Eiv. The pasuk in Eiv says, "Kipachot pacharti ve'yesayani v'sheyegot yovali." It's interesting. It's the opposite of what most people are superstitious. They say that if you say something's not going to happen, that it will happen. But Eiv says just the opposite. If you're afraid of it, it'll happen. But the question is, he says, The question is, I mean, well, how do we understand that? What does it mean? What does Paskinius mean? Paskinius, Pachanti, Vayesa, Yanni, Vashi, Yogarti, Yobu. What is the sum of superstitious? I mean, and then, because you're afraid of it's going to happen, and well, what kind of sense does it make? Yeah. But the pshat is like this, really. The pshat is really, that's why these two members are together, because it's all a part of the, the Gemara's idea that a person that is mafache, pochadu b'tzion chatoyim, that a person is mafache that is a chote. Why is a person as mafache a chote? The reason is because a person that is mafache is making a mistake. What is a mistake? It's not the mistake like common people think that you have to have betach. Simply, you have to have betach. But that idea simply means that for some unknown reason, things are going to go his way. But that's not the idea. The idea is that a person that is afraid because of pachadu b'tzion chatoyim means that people in life always attach themselves to a certain phenomena that occur. And the phenomena that's closest to them, that's the one that they attach themselves to most with the greatest security. And if a person is healthy, feels very strong, feels very healthy, so he feels a tremendous security in his health. Or if a person is doing well financially, they feel security in their finances. So this, they attach themselves to certain events. Then if other events occur which seem to threaten or to shake this situation that they have, the status quo, so then what happens is, so then they become frightened. But the truth of the matter is that those events were always there. The only events that you see are really very few, that a person really knows, are really very few. But everything that the person has, the event that is closest to him, that gives him that sense of security, really is interraveled with many, many other events. And therefore, the person, by placing his security on that event which is closest to him, is simply making a very foolish mistake, because he's denying the whole sea of events that this one event that he sees is just a part of. And he's placing his security in that one event. Right now things are great, so he feels total security. But he fails to realize that suddenly everything could change. Why? Not because things change suddenly, but because that event that he saw was just a surface phenomenon. It was interrelated with many, many other events. And those other events he didn't see, he wasn't aware of, and suddenly something changed somewhere else, unknown to him, and it had a chain effect. And therefore, that last thing, which he was boteach in, which he was so secure about, suddenly is gone. So, the reason why a person feels the sense of security, or why the person feels a sense of pachad, is because they stake everything in that event, that one event that they're aware of, or that they know of, which they think is an indication of security. But that is simply not true. And since that is not true, so the person must know ultimately that everything simply depends upon God's will. And God's will encompasses, God is the only one who encompasses all the events. And therefore, the particular event that you see shouldn't really change you, unless the person really lacks his true bitachon, which means the security is in God. And therefore, it's not just this one event which you're aware of, but rather you must know that God is the one that knows all the events, and therefore the only security a person can have is in terms of how he relates to God. That's the only real security. Because the events, the ones that he sees, are very limited, and to place his faith in those events is simply nonsensical. So that's really, pachadu b'tzion chatoyim means, when they saw one event that looked scary, so they became frightened. But the truth of the matter is, these things, scary things are always surrounding an individual. You may not see them, but they're surrounding it, so why isn't he always frightened? So the answer is, because a person must come to the rational conclusion that simply, if he's living properly, and in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's living properly, So that is the only security, he can have. So then he doesn't fluctuate and doesn't change by the superficial events that he becomes aware of. That's why it's pachadu b'tzincha, and that's why he used the word chatoyim. Chatoyim means a serious flaw in the gavra, not just a maisa there, like the Rav said, but it's a serious flaw. Because it means that the individual simply lacking true b'tzincha. In other words, his security is not based upon his relationship with God, but his security is based upon that which he sees, one superficial thing. So sometimes he feels very secure, sometimes he feels very insecure. But the pachad ubatin, that's pachad ubatin chatan. And the pasuk in Eiv really falls in line with that. Because it means to say, he says, Eiv says very well, he says, ki pachad pachadati v'yesayani. I was afraid of a certain particular thing, and that thing, Lashay Yagorti, and that thing which I was really afraid of, Yavoli. That's what happened to me. Why? Because it means if a person is afraid of a particular thing, so it means that he has a fear based upon a particular. That means that this scene he can't tolerate. Even though really it's just one factor, one element. But that he can't tolerate, because he thinks if that happens, he can't survive. But that's really not true, because the fact, he only thinks that way because it's an emotional reaction to that particular thing. So insofar as a person has a fear of something, and his fears are not rational, they're not based upon his relationship to God, but it's based upon a particular thing. So insofar as a person lives in that way, it's like the Rambam says, when a person lives in a way that's not in line with the Ashgacha, so he doesn't have Ashgacha. So that's what he has said, really. I was afraid of that event, and that event was something which instilled fear in me. So insofar as he was afraid of that event, so he was not under the Ashgacha anymore. Because when a person moves away, that's what the Rambam explains in the Maran Avuchim, that when a person moves away from the Ashgacha, doesn't live that way, so then he's subject to chance. And once he's subject to chance, so then that event can very well befall him, and that's what Eve was saying. So that's why Eve said, I was afraid of it, I was irrational, and I was afraid of that, isolated that one thing, and because I was afraid of that, that's exactly what happened to me. Why that happens is because since the person lives in such a manner where he lives an irrational life, and in that area he says, if this thing I can't tolerate. So he already set up something completely irrational. Once he sets up that thing, it's irrational, and so far as that's concerned, he's not under the sway of the Hashgacha anymore in that area. So then he's under the sway of chance. So over a period of time, that very well can happen to him. So that's what Eve said. So that's why Chazal said very well. It says that is exactly what the Gemara means of that. The Gemara says So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that Rav Amnuna, that Yudah ben Nosson was going to back Rav Amnuna and Asnach. So he heard him go, ay. So he says, Amale Yisurim Bay Hilgavah Lusayanafshe. So he said, it sounds like you're afraid of something, you're isolating something. If you're doing that, so then you're going to bring Yisurim on yourself. Because what's going to happen, that means that you're not rational. You're afraid of isolating one thing. You're saying, this is the thing that I can't tolerate. When a person does that, so then it means, insofar as that's concerned, he's removing himself from the whole realm of the Ashgacha. He's not living in the way a person should live, which is true b'tachon, which means that the only thing he has to be concerned with is really his relationship to God, because any event that he sees is just a surface event anyways. It's tied into hundreds of other events, and therefore there is no way to feel secure in what your immediate situation is. There's no way, because you don't know what could be operating in the background and completely overturn that situation. So therefore the only b'tachon a person can have is b'tachon insofar as how he relates to God. And that's why the Gemara says Asher Adam Mafache Tamid. The Gemara says very well. What does it mean, Asher Adam Mafache Tamid? Ahuba Divrei Torah says. It means to say that the that what is the most essential, what is the most essential element of a person's relationship to God is Divrei Torah. Divrei Torah is where a person relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where a man meets HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Limud, in Torah. So that's why the one says, Ashi Adam Mafache Tomet, Ahubi Divrei Torah says. That means if the individual is concerned about his relationship with God, and that's essentially Divrei Torah. So, of course, it expresses itself in Miri D'Alma as well. That's what Tosfos is pointing out. That the Gemara isn't to be taken literally, but you have to understand the Gemara. But once you understand the Gemara, you see that the Gemara mentions Divrei Torah, but it really means, Asher Adam Mafache Tamid means, that the person's concern, essentially, is insofar as his relationship to God and the whole series of events that surround his life. Now this thing, being concerned with relationship with God in our system, doesn't, of course, Divrei Torah is most essential, but it doesn't only mean Divrei Torah. That's what Tosfos is saying. It doesn't only mean Divrei Torah. It means a certain way of life that encompasses many, many areas. It means that the person, essentially, it means the person must live a life of that involves chachma. So if the person feels a false sense of security, so then the person really is abandoned that path. And that's really the Gemara. That's really the Gemara's akamta bar kamta. So let's take a look a little bit at the Gemara. Akamta bar kamta chavir shalayim. The Gemara says, "Ehu gavra derachame kamto bal devave bar kamto." So there was this individual whose friend was kamto, and his enemy was bar kamto. So avatzudas. So he made a big party. Amale l'shamech. So he said to his shamech, "Zil aisi li kamto." Okay, go and invite Kamsa. Ozo Aisile Bar Kamsa. So he went and he invited Bar Kamsa. Okay. So the Gemara is like this. Osa Ashkechet Avi Yosef. So he went and he found that the party, the Bala Suda found that he was sitting there at the party. Amalei, so he said to him, Mirdei. Ahu gavra baldavava dahu gavrahu. This certain individual is an enemy of another certain individual. My bayasacha. So what are you doing here? So he said, kumpuk. Now you get up and leave. Amalei, so he said to him, hova soy shafkot. He says, since I'm here already, why don't you let me stay? Yehibnilach, the Meima Dachilna, Shasina says, but of course I'll pay you back, compensate for everything that I eat and I drink. Amalei, so he said to him, lo. No. Amalei, so he said to him, Yehibnilach, the Meipal get a Suda Sayach. So I'll pay half of the Suda. Amalei, lo. Amalei, he said to him again, he said, Yehibnilach to make kula suda sayach. I'll pay for the entire suda. Amalei lo. Nakte biyodei v'ukne v'afke. So he grabbed him physically, stood him up, and threw him out. Yep. So the question is, I mean, first of all, just simply, why did Bar Kamsa, why was he so concerned? Why didn't he just walk out? I mean, he was his enemy after all. What was the terrible embarrassment there? Okay? So, you can understand, all right, he was invited, uninvited, he left me, but to go so far as to say, okay, if they let me stay, I'll pay for my meal, fine. But I'll pay for half of the Suda, that's going pretty far. I'll pay for the whole Suda, I mean. It's really strange. You know, okay, so a person went to a chasna and they found that he wasn't invited, so he leaves. He's not going to pay for the whole chasna. It doesn't make any sense. It's crazy. So what exactly, I mean, what exactly was happening over here that caused Bar Kamsa was his enemy to insist on paying for the entire suit? Apparently, the Bala Suda was an individual we saw. He couldn't do one of those people he couldn't deal with that you find commonly in our society. And he couldn't work it out with him. Wasn't an individual he could work with. And he wasn't a Mavrel Midesa. Okay, so if you encounter such a person, so walk away, pay for his entire suda. I mean, first of all, he was his arch enemy. And I'm sure it would be painful for him to pay for his entire suda. I mean, he hated him. And nevertheless, you see that he was willing to do it. So the question, of course, is why. I think from the next little piece of Gemara, you'll understand what it was. It wasn't like an hour type of a simcha, like a guy walked into a chasna. He said, when Nifty threw him out, he said, Oma, ho v'hevi yasi rabbonin v'lo mochu bei, so you see what he said. Bar Kamsa says, since the Chachomim Chachmei Yisrael were sitting there, so they didn't object, they didn't say anything, so it must be that what the Bala Suda did appealed to them. They must have supported this. Yeah, so in truth, of course, the Chachomim didn't really support it, obviously, but why did he say that? From what he said, you could see what was bothering him. It was really, in those days, it was a suda, but to have a suda, apparently, was just have a suda of simcha didn't have any significance, because Klal Yisrael Kedesh Shemayim, and just a suda, which is a hedonistic pleasure, wasn't something which would appeal to anybody in Klal Yisrael. So, therefore, they had to have Chachmei Yisrael present. Chachmei Yisrael were there. They invited Chachmei Yisrael. That's a real suda. Chachon. So now you understand why Bar Kamsa didn't want to leave. Because it was a suda that was in the presence of Chachmei Yisrael, and to be thrown out of such a suda in the presence of Chachmei Yisrael would be a tremendous design. Because it would appear that Chachmei Yisrael on the side of the Bala Suda. That's really what he was concerned about. And the Zoyan, I mean, Mitoch Ginuson, you see Shrochan. I mean, you see, the fact is that that's really what bothered Bar Kamsa. Bothered Bar Kamsa was, he said it in different terms, he ascribed a little too much to the Chachon. Because he said, Shmamine Nichlo, that wasn't the truth, but you see from what he said, what really bothered him. What bothered him was that he would have to leave. This Suda was the Bala Suda, the Chachamim came to the Suda. So it's like the Chachamim on his side. After all, he invited them. They're here, the Chachamim are here on his behalf. So he and them are unified together, and this individual is forced to leave. So that's the Bazaian. That was the design that Bar Kamsa really wanted, was trying very desperately to avoid, so much so that he was willing to pay for the entire suda not to have such a design in front of Chachmei Yisrael. So, That could be. Yeah. It would have been, yeah, but the main thing he wanted to avoid was the design. That was that apparently was something he couldn't tolerate. So at any rate, he wasn't successful. And what happened was so what happened was that Bar Kamsa, you see also that another proof is this, take a look, you see what happened to what Bar Kamsa did. Because Bar Kamsa did, again, the thing which happens often many times, he said, Ezel, unfortunately, Ezel Echobu Kurtzu Bemalka. So basically, what he decided to do was to go to the government. So he marched into the government, And that's the, again, I mean, unfortunately, very something which we see, unfortunately, all the time, right away. No rent to the government against another Jew. So that's what he decided to do. Echel be'kur to be'malka. So you see, apparently, this Bar Kamsa from the first part of the story, it sounded like Bar Kamsa was the more reasonable of the two. I mean, it sounds like that. Because here, he's willing to pay, to let me stay, pay for what I eat. A reasonable fellow. Not only that, but he'll pay for half of the sliver. And then even more, he decided to pay for the entire sliver. But you see that wasn't any kind of citrus on his part. Because later he turned out to do the worst rishis. It's an amazing thing. So it shows you that really, while it's true, he was worried about the chachamim. He was worried about the chacham and the chachamim. So in that sense, I mean, that, like I said, is a good thing for the Kol Yisrael. That people should be concerned about the opinions of the chacham. After all, I mean, the chachmei Yisrael are the leaders. But you see that if the individual is really, his motive is simply because of his own covet, his own ego, that's the motivation. So it doesn't matter what he's attached to. Could be attached to the right thing, the opinion of chachmei Yisrael, but you see, it's in the wrong way. It's completely an egoistic way. So because of that, he destroyed the whole Beis HaMikdash, destroyed Kol Yisrael. That's really this is a very interesting thing. It shows you that even though you can instill a system of perfection, but as long as the individuals are not perfected, so that thing, the cover for the Chachamim, became an instrument of destruction and was responsible for Churban HaBayis. And you see that this Bar Kamsa, which at first sight it seems he was the more reasonable of the two, you think maybe this other guy was absolutely unreasonable, so he was simply a mavel mideis of a Russia. He couldn't tolerate to have the guy there. Was it bothering the guy there? Such a sinner's mother. I mean, he's the Russia, and Bar Kamsa really was more reasonable. But no, he was equally unreasonable. He was really, they were both very well matched. He was equally unreasonable, equally a Russia. And the only reason why he was willing to pay for the Suda was simply because he wanted to avoid any kind of damage to his ego. It was simply purely a matter of covet. That's all it was. Yeah. Interesting. The story is very, very interesting analysis of personality. So you can't judge an individual by one superficial action. This same person was going to pay for the Suda, went, and he was motioned to the government. Okay, but he did it with a lot of chacham. He went like this. Amalei l'keisa. He went to the case and he said, Mardu bach yudai. The Jews rebelled against you. Amalei, so he said to him, Miyema. So all of the cases have told the fellow, doesn't this accept the testimony of one individual? Amalei, so he said to him, Shadalahu korbanah. We'll make it. I'll tell you how you can make an experiment. You can make an experiment if you don't trust me. Says you send him a carbon chazis, you'll see a mark of them way. If they'll be mark of the carbon. All right, sounds reasonable. Ozal shada biyode egla tilfa. He went and he sent a good calf. Bahadi de Kaasi, fat calf. Bahadi de Kaasi, Shada be Muma beneath for Sayin, Vamila bedokin Sheba Ayin. Duchta do didona of a Mumo, or did you love Mumaho? So he made a very small mum in the lips or in the eye, and was a mum that for them, the goyim wouldn't recognize the mum, wouldn't consider it a mum, and for us it is a mum. Okay, So, I mean, and it's an interesting thing over here. So, I mean, if they respected the fact that a mummy can't be makrib, I mean, so why couldn't they just say, that's the halacha. I mean, look, we'd love to be makrib. Send us another calf, and we're makrib, but we can't be makrib because to us, this is a mum. Do they accept halacha? Don't they accept halacha? Yeah. So the answer is that this fellow, Bar Kamsa, was very sharp. He knew that there's always a point that we Jews can never communicate to God. This is something which is an impossibility. And that is what our halachic system is. There's a barrier which we cannot possibly overcome. And that is, in trying to explain, we can explain to a guy certain things in our Torah, and not only explain to them, but they'll even respect it. Explain to them a lot of things in the Torah that they'll even respect it. They'll even say, those are unbelievable level of efforts. But you cannot explain to a guy the duke halacha. That they can never accept. Why? Because our system has one is unique in a certain respect, and it's not found in any other religion. And that is that in our religion, Yahadus demands that all halacha be under a consistent logical system that is precise to the nth degree of precision and consistent intellectually to the nth degree, like a science. It must be, this is a perfect science. And the scientific element of Yahadus is something which Goyim can never understand. You cannot explain to them a small, minute difference. It just doesn't make any sense to them. To explain to them that the lulav, if it's split this way, it's kosher, but that way it's puzzle. You cannot understand. They can't comprehend such a thing. They can comprehend the idea, take a palm tree, fine. But they can't understand that the duke halachis. Which means that it's purely based on a scientific formula. And once you know the formula happens to generate certain particulars which would seem to a person that follows that is in a religious mode of behavior. A religious mode of behavior, these particulars don't seem to make any sense, that they should be differentia, that these should be differentia, and these should actually be responsible for whether there's a kiyama mitzvah or whether there's no kiyama mitzvah. A small, minute detail. It doesn't make any sense to the geyish mind.
Just a quick question. In terms of the pasuk, it says, Kimi goy gadol shelo kukim tzadikim. Which goyim are the Torah referring to when they said that they're going to recognize hukim and mishpatim that are correct or that are true?
Okay. I'll get back. It's a good question. I'll get back to that. Let me first say this. Good question. They asked a question. Ki chok matzah and esam leinei ha'ana. So, what? But I'll get back. This is a very good question. But this is really this is a fact. I mean, this is a fact. Like, for instance, by Haman also, that Haman said that if a fly goes in the wine, so then they'll drink the wine. But if you touch it, so then they can't drink. A guy could not understand such a thing. You say, because you're in a certain category, if you touch the wine, he'll understand, say, yeah. Can't be menasech the yayin for avodah zara. Then we can't drink it. That'll understand. But touch it. I mean, so what if he was in a gas? So up, and he didn't. There's no possibility here, even that it was Avodah Zarah. Yeah, but the halacha, but the way the halacha is framed, whether it's the reis or drabanan, but it's framed in a manner in which it has to have a consistent, scientifically perfected manner of the way it exists is it exists as a scientific formula, precise to the nth degree. So therefore, even though the reasoning behind it, you say they can understand, let's say, the major reasoning about Azara, they can't say he touched it. What if he touched it? No, but that's a lot. So if you would say because he touched it, so they would definitely say that cannot be, because religion is not based on such ideas, and therefore it must be a personal thing. Yeah. Yeah, the Shir and Tzkiyas. I mean, Tzkiyas Shofar is even Tzkiyas Shofar, which is tshuva. Yeah, but the exact sound, if it's a fraction too short, you're not Yetzer. There's no Tzkiyas Shofar. The whole thing is butlam of upples, if you want, is if you don't blow Shofar. I mean, it doesn't make the Geshem mind cannot understand such an idea, because, and for a very good reason. Because every other religion is man-made, and a man-made religion is made to satisfy certain emotions. It's a religious phenomena, and therefore they assume that we have a religion, they have a religion. They assume that our religion also is strictly in the same realm. If it's in the same realm, so then how could it be that these minutiae, these little differences are gonna determine whether you're Yotzei Mitzvah or whether you're not Yotzei Mitzvah? Doesn't make any sense to the Geshem mind. And this is something which we never were able. I mean, I'd say that it was the greatest difficulty. And Goyim that wanted to bring Bilbulim against Jews would always try to isolate things like that, where we couldn't explain ourselves, because you just can't explain. You can't explain it in a way that will satisfy a religious guy, even a guy that is religious. He will not be able to comprehend it. Beyond his ability of to comprehend. So basically, this Bar Kamsa was a very clever fellow, where they couldn't explain it. It was a mum, but it was lididhu. That's what the Gemara means. Lididhu lo hava mama. For them, it's not a mum, because they understand. And Rashi brings down very interesting. Rashi said lididhu lo hava mama. Rashi says lahakrif v'davar b'bama didhu ela machusar eva. Finally, Rashi says, because they're allowed to be mocked with a mum, and the only mum they can't mock with is a mechusar eva. So what is Rashi saying? Rashi seems saying on the contrary, that they're going by Hilchos B'nai Noach. So, but that makes it very difficult. If they're accepting B'nai Noach, they'll say, yeah, you can. If you follow the Hilchos, yeah, for you, mechusar eva, then for me, it's even more. Well, why couldn't they explain it? Or Rashi really saying is like this. Rashi really is saying an interesting principle. And when you study the Gemara Sanhedrin in the areas of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, you'll see that it's true. You'll see that Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, of course, it comes from the same system. And it's all Chochmas Hashem, but it's different. It's different. It's not the halachas over there are much closer. The Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach are much closer to the philosophical ideas than in our system, than in the system of Tayyad. That's a big difference between the system of Sheva Mitzvah Be'nach and between the system of Tayyad. Even when you learn the Gemara Sanhedrin, you learn the Sheva Mitzvah, you see the flavor is a different flavor. It's a different kind of a system. And it's because of the fact that it really is made for Sheva, made for B'nai Noach. And that's why by them, Mum is only Mechusar Eva. Because that's something that they really can understand. They can comprehend such an idea. But what is a mum, and to differentiate by a hair's breadth between something this is a mum that they can't do, that they can't they're not on the level for such a system. And that's what Rashi's pointing out, that even the Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach, the Torah itself doesn't demand of them that they should be on a level of such a level of chachma. And acceptance of Chachma that their Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach should be on a level of the scientific level of Tayyad. It's not the same. It's not the same science. It's a science, but not the same science. Their Sheven Mitzvahs are much closer to the philosophy than our Tayyad. Much, it's different. And that's what Rashi is pointing out. So basically, his Bar Kamsa was a very clever fellow. He knew that this is something you can't possibly communicate. It's a barrier that exists between the Jews and the Goyim, and he cleverly placed Klal Yisrael in that position where they were unable to do anything, because to try to explain it, they wouldn't be accepted. And the case, I would say, that this is, you're just now you're just trying to cover up. Okay. So the Gemara says like this. So the Gemara says, Sava Rabbanan Makruve. So the Chacham said, okay, let's be makruvit. After all, it's a Sakanas Nefashis. Yishum Shalom Malchus. Actually, they didn't say Sakanas, they said Shalom Malchus. Shalom Malchus. It could be there's a reason why there's a difference. Amar Lehu Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkulis. So Zechariah ben Afkulis said, Yomu, they're going to say, Balei Mumin Kreven Legavim Mizbeach. People will say they're allowed to be makruv by Mum on a Mizbeach. Okay? So, it's an interesting piece of Gemara. Why this statement is so very interesting. Apparently, Chazal didn't have any problem being makruv the Balmon. The greater problem was the fact that people will say that a Balmon is the key makruv of Balmon on the Mizbeach. So you see that Yahadis holds that a loss of knowledge is really greater than a Maisa Aveira itself. To be makriv the Baal Mum this one time, okay, it's a terrible thing. The Baal Mum on his death is a terrible thing. It's the biggest degradation. See the way the Navi has. It's a horrible thing to be makriv the Baal Mum on his death. It's the biggest design. One of the worst things you can do with Kabbalah, the way the Navi expresses. But nevertheless, you have to do it. But Yomru, but there will be a loss of knowledge insofar as Allah is concerned. That is much more serious. That's much more serious. So the Balmum, they would have mocked it, but here they couldn't do it because it's going to result in a loss of knowledge in Klal Yisrael. And this could be, this is, that we can't tolerate. So then they had another idea. So he said, Sofer Lamikdala. So they said, okay, let's dispose of this fellow. Dispose of Bar Kamsa. The Lolezel Velema. So he shouldn't go back to the king and report that they weren't makriv. Amalahu Reb Zechariah. So Zechariah said, Yomru, they'll say, Mato Mumba Kachim Yehoreg. So they'll say a person that's Mato Mumba Kachim should be killed. So Amar Rabbi Yechanan. So Rabbi Yechanan said, on the Sanuso, show Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkulis, Anivus doesn't really mean Anivus, it means his Savlonis. His Midas, I mean, on the Sanuso means his ability, the fact that he wasn't the person that, had the Midas Agaiva. He was on the contrary. He was a big Savlon. And the Sanusos, Reb Zechariah ben Afkulis, Echriva as Botenu, the Sofar as Echolenu, the Glisanu Meratzenu. Okay? So, that's really basically, as far as the story is concerned, that's the end of the story. But Rashi says, it's interesting, Rashi says, when the Biachan said, I'm the Sanuso Shereb Zchaya ben Afkulis, Echrivas Batenu, so Rashi says, Savlanuso Shesaval Azev Lo Hargo. Shesaval Azev Lo Hargo. Yeah, but there was another possibility before. Before the Gemara said, let them be mocked of the carbon. So he could have, so why didn't he say, why didn't he criticize them on that one? And it's just, I mean, they had two choices. They could have been makriv of the carbon, okay, or they could have killed him. So the Gemara says that, so he gave the same reasoning, that's Chayav Ben Afkulis. He said, if you're going to be makriv the carbon. So people are going to say, you can be makriv bali mumin on Mizbeach. Right? So then they said, okay, so let's kill him. So then they said, no, because then they're going to say, if you matl mumba kachin, so you chayav mesa. Alright? So then he says, so Rabbi Yochanan criticized them only on the second one. He said, on the sanusa shreb zechaya, chrivas batenu. Why didn't he say on the first one? Why didn't he say tzitkusay shall Rabbi Yezechaya zechrivas batenu? Because he didn't want to be marked for the carbon, because they'll say that they can mark for Balmum. Why did he choose the second one? It's interesting. Why did he choose the second one? She said both. What's the difference? It was the same reasoning. The reasoning was people will say this, people will say that. So apparently Rabbi Yochanan held that insofar as the first one was concerned, that was a legitimate concern. That they'll say that you can mock them about mum, and they won't be medactic anymore, and people will not know, or will have a misunderstanding, I should say, insofar as mum are concerned. Okay, so that loss of knowledge is that was a legitimate point, but that people will say that he matul mum b'kachim yichayev misa. That apparently Rabbi Yochanan was a little far fetched, but he held that the reason why he came to that conclusion was because of the fact that he really didn't want to kill him. He really didn't want to kill him. Emotionally, there was some. He was not an individual that was given to killing somebody. It was hard for him to do it. It was a difficult thing. So he said that's what he meant by andasanusa, savlanusa. It meant he was too much of a savlan. Like the Rambam says, that a person must be directly in between. Can't be drawn by any one of the two midos. And if a person is drawn by one side over another, then he's not in the proper position to make a decision, to make a correct decision. Apparently, Rabbi Yochanan held was, the first one, he accepted his reasoning. And the second one, he held, the reason why he didn't do it was because he wasn't predisposed to destroying that individual. It was something that was distasteful to him, and he wasn't really directly. That's what it means on the son Nuso, shall Zechariah ben Afkulis. The fact that he was too much on the side of the Anivas, on the side of Savlonis, was what was responsible for this. Because if he weren't on the side of Savlonis, if he was directly in between, like the Rambam says, that a person has to be directly in between. If a person loses it, even for a moment, like the Rambam says, Moshe Rabbeinu lost it for a moment, and he committed the chait of the name Riva. So over here, that's what Bechlin said. Bechlin said that he held that with regard to killing somebody, he was too soft emotionally. He didn't want to kill him. He was that's what he means by savlonus. He was no more to meet a savlonus, and he didn't want to kill him, and that's why that was responsible for the loss of Amigdash.
Rebbe?
Yes.
The equation of losing one halacha or losing the Beis Hamikdash, lose the Beis Hamikdash, you lose thousands of halachas. You lose the halacha of a mum that you're marked with, you lose one halacha. Eis lasos, you know.
You're right. We'll get to that. Yeah. Of course, now there's an important question here. The question is like this. The question is, did Rabbi Yochanan start off the memra before with like Amar Biechan and Maidach Sivash Adam Afachi Tamid Umacha Libo Yipo Baro? So Rabbi Yochanan says a Kanto Bar Kanto is Chorv Yishalayim, right? And now Rabbi Yochanan himself is saying, no, that's not why it was Chorv. It was Chorv because Amar Rabbi Yochanan and the son Usos Reb Zechariah ben Afkulis the Chorivah of Batena Vesofa Zechalena Vigusar Meyatena. An absolute contradiction. an absolute contradiction. First, he says it was because of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. And as Taisus explains, why? Because they were, they weren't mafachin enough. And now he says it's because of the anivas, the anvasanusa, the savlanus of Rav Zechariah ben Afkulis. I mean, which one was it? Which one was it? If that's the, if he could trace the destruction to the anvasanusa of Rav Zechariah ben Afkulis, so then what are you saying before? What's got to do with Asher the Mafachitam? It has nothing to do with it. Yeah. But apparently, you see, the answer is like this. The answer is, and that's why, I mean, like we said before, like Taisus points out, you can't take the words of Chazal literally, because simply there's tremendous chokhmah involved in everything they say, and you have to study it very carefully. Okay? See, Taisus explains, what did Rabbi Yochanan say? And as I said, it's the Gemara. I mean, it's basically the Gemara. Asher Adam Afachi Tamit. So Taisus says that what was the chait? A kamtza ba kamtza? Taisus says, Shebotchu al rov tovosam v'shalvosam. The vayesh is ba kamtza. So what it means is, basically that there's an underlying cause in a situation, a general cause, but a tragedy doesn't occur unless you have a lot of causes. Okay. They're not just one. Usually there are many, many things involved. But what I want to explain is, I want to get back to what I started at the outset. But what I want to explain is that there are two different types of causes. And basically, it has to do with what we mentioned many times on Tisha B'Av. And that is that the Geisha historians say, that the uniqueness of the Jew is that the Jew can be vanquished and yet he's not destroyed. Somehow or other nations, the moment one nation is successful in a war, for instance, in subduing another nation, so then the nation that's subdued is gone. You don't hear from them anymore. But Yahadis, Judaism is the only religion where we're defeated, but nevertheless, in spite of the defeat, we keep on going. Somehow or other, we take the defeat and make it into a Sefer Kehillos, and that becomes the ongoing relationship with God. But the reason is, I think, it has to do with a certain concept. And that's really the concept that the Ramban is mentioning. The concept is of the Nisim Nistarim. See, the concept of the Nisim Nistarim. What is the concept of the Nisim Nistarim? Really is that Yahadis maintains, see, this is what I think is an important idea, that the concept with regard to the Ashgach. The Ashgach is not considered a Nis. Ashkoch is never considered a nace. Because otherwise you say, otherwise what's the difference between Kriyas Yamsuf and every day? A nace. It wouldn't be any Choloifis or Meksham Asher, so Leni Choloisrael, I mean, every day. So apparently, it seems clear that the Oisus and Molson, Eiro, Avon, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Bekel, Shakai, that's Ashkoch. Shmir Hashem, Lenadati Lohem, that's Oisus and Molson, Nisim Goyim. The Nisim Goyim is a different concept, different idea. But what is the idea of the Ashkacha? In my opinion, the idea of the Ashkacha is a person, let's say the person is a tzaddik, for instance. So you see, like the Ramban says, what does Ramban say? The Ramban says that it's true for Yochid and it's true for Tzibor. The Ramban says that, He says, כאשר יש החוסד שם מקום מצווה שם הלכב ישמרי וכל מנחולי והאקרס והשיקו וימלו ימוב בטובה. So everybody understands that to mean simply that the person is a tzaddik, so God jumps in, so to speak, whenever there's a danger and stops it. Okay? Or whenever he needs something good, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yashgacha suddenly jumps in there, intervenes, and he has what he needs. You see. But I want to say that's not the case. I want to say like this. that the way the Yashgacha works, the way we can understand the Yashgacha, of course understanding the Yashgacha is a hard thing, and understanding the Yashgacha was really what Moshe Rabbeinu asked, and Adina knows to Achecha, and it took Nevuah to understand it, which means that there's no philosopher, no matter how great he is, could ever understand such a thing. But even the greatest Chacham can only understand it if he zocha through Nevuah, to have it explained to him through Nevuah. But on his own, he would never be able to reach those ideas. Couldn't reach those ideas. There's two things. There's two levels of thought. One level of thought is the ability to comprehend. The other level of thought is the ability to attain an idea, to grasp an idea. It takes a greater person to make a breakthrough, but then once the breakthrough is made, he can explain it to other people that are and that couldn't have made the breakthrough on their own. That's the same thing with Hodiyei Nostrachecha, which means to say to understand the Ashgacha, no matter how great a person is, even the greatest mind would never be able to make the breakthrough. But man has the ability to comprehend it through Nevuah. It means that he can understand it, but he can't make the breakthrough, but he can understand the breakthrough. So he needs Nevuah to convey the idea to him, even though it's an idea he never would get on his own. So obviously when we're speaking about Hashgacha, it's something that we can't expect to understand fully. But nevertheless, in Yahadis we're always taught that a person must not refrain from striving to understand it so far as one is able to, the Hashgacha. So with that introduction, I continue. So the thing is like this. Now, with regard to the Hashgacha, what I'm saying is that it's not the way it's commonly perceived, namely that the person is a tzaddik, and then God jumps in over here and protects him from this, and then intervenes in another manner. That wouldn't be a good way to describe it. Okay. But the better way to describe it would be to describe it in a manner, to borrow manner from the Derech HaTeva. The Derech HaTeva, we know that there are, for instance, if we want to take the area, of finances, financial area. Okay. So the financial area, there are ways to be successful financially, and there are ways of thinking that are unsuccessful financially. And it is true that a person that is successful financially is not because they just are lucky. And that's what the Rav said. The Rav, as I mentioned, he said that people by nature, you speak about Ayin Hara, people by nature are always very envious. They say they see a person successful financially, so they'll say he was lucky. Because they don't want to give him any personal one. It's very difficult for a person to give another individual credit. But the truth of the matter is, person that is successful financially is because they're following a pattern and a way of thinking with regard to finances that is intelligent and that makes sense. And therefore, they will be successful because they have mastered the ability to act rationally and think rationally in this area. Okay? It's true that Shlomo HaMelech says in Kehelet, Lo Lachachom Im Lechem. But what Shlomo HaMelech is saying, Lo Lachachom Im Lechem, again, is not what is commonly, like most people commonly understand it to mean, that financial has nothing to do with Chachma. On the contrary, all the Pesukim indicate the exact opposite, that finances does have to do with Chachma. But he means to say that in spite of that, you can find a person that will work completely rationally and still he'll miss, still he'll lose. Why? Because there are various situations in the physical. The nature of the physical is such that you can have all your points, everything lined up, but you don't know everything, you don't see everything, and there are things that go awry, and you can be the biggest chacham, and you can lose a fortune. Lo lachacham, that's lachacham, lo lachacham. But it's the exception. It's the exceptional case. Lochem lechem is a mitzvah tzumah is the exceptional case, not the rule. The rule, on the contrary, the rule is that if a person is intelligent, so on the contrary, will be, and he applies his intelligence to this area, like any other area, he will be successful. That's the way the teva works. Not 100% of the time, because it's a physical thing, lochem lechem. But 90% of the time he will, because things work according to chachma. And if you see a person that is not successful in that area, it's simply because they haven't mastered the ability to approach it properly. So, what I want to say is that there, in other words, the world recognizes that there's a derech. There's a derech, an approach in every area. There's a proper approach that a person should take with regard to one's health. So, there's an approach, a way of thinking, insofar as health is concerned, that if a person thinks the proper way and lives the proper way, he will be healthy. Can't say 100%, again, because the physical has its defects, depending on a lot of factors. But the fact is, on the whole, that's the way things work, because things work according to chach. What I want to say is like this, with regard to perfection, to the real good, which is Torah, and which is Yediyas Hashem, ultimately is Yediyas Hashem. So really what we maintain is that there is a certain Derech HaChayim. And that's really what the Torah gives man. It gives man a Derech HaChayim. This Derech HaChayim is a Derech of profound Chachma. And if a person embodies this Derech and lives in accordance with this Chachma in every aspect of his life, okay, in every aspect of his life, so then he is guaranteed success. Guaranteed success. Okay? Over here, you don't have the chassan of lo lacham lach. Because in the physical world, because it's physical, it can't always be the way the person's thoughts are concerning the matter. Because the physical world is defective. But in this world, we're dealing really with the perfect world. We're dealing with the world of ideas and the world of Chachmas Hashem. And insofar as a person is on that derech, is on that way of life, so then his success is a natural result. And it's not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps in, so to speak, to protect him or to give him what he needs, but it is implanted in the teva like that, that Derech HaChayim will naturally lead to those results. Because it's a level of existence. You see, everything that exists only because of God's will. So the whole Teva is an expression of God's will. The whole universe is an expression of God's will. What the Torah tells you is that if an Adam who has the Tzelem Elokim can live on a higher level of existence, which means that existence will make the individual more real, so to speak, in philosophical terms, real, than the existence of the physical. And therefore, it naturally will result in the fact that everything will fall in line in order for him to achieve and to attain the good. And that good is guaranteed him. It's just like when I borrow the mushal from the area of the financial, it's just like the financial, a person that uses chachma will be successful. He thinks there are successful ways of thinking and there are unsuccessful ways of thinking. The successful way of thinking will lead to success. Again, not 100% because that's the nature of the physical. But in this area, it'll be 100% because in this area, you're not dealing with the physical. So therefore, the individual that acquires that derech, that way of life, in which he lives in accordance with chachma, will always be successful. It is not an intervention on the part of God that sustains him. It's the derech that sustains him. And my brother brought to mind a chazal, a gemara, a mishnah kedushin. You got the gemara kedushin there, mishnah kedushin, which I think really expresses it perfectly. The mishnah kedushin. It's on the pay base of Maraos. See this? Mishnah says, Okay, shalom anis min omnis, lo ashiris min omnis, ala kolos in chuso. And the Gemara is like this. Rav Shim ben Lazar omer, Rav Shim ben Lazar omer, lo iso mi yomecho achaya v'ov sheyesh lam omnis? You ever see an animal or a bird that has some kind of a profession, a trade? They ain't misponis in shalom atar. But they never have to worry about making a living, and they have their panasa without any tzar. V'alolo nivru elon shamsheni. But they were only created to be mishamesh me, Adam. V'ani nivresi mishamesh eskoni. Ain't no din shes panish of a tzar. So shouldn't it be that way? Shouldn't it? What is Rav Shim ben Lazar say? I mean, what is he saying? This time, it's a nice argument, but. If HaKadosh Baruch didn't see fit to do it that way, so you can argue all you want to me. But what is he saying? It's not an idle argument. What Rav Shim ben Lazar is saying is basically that there is such a law that when HaKadosh Baruch created the Teva, that's why he's equating it to Chayav Oaf. Just like in the Teva, God's will is such that the Chaya and Oaf doesn't have to worry about Panasa, so too really man, it is in the Teva that man should not have to be concerned about Panas. That is really fit. His existence is such that he shouldn't really be bothered with Panas, because his existence is on a higher level, more real than the oath. So therefore it would lack in the Bria. That's what he's not asking a question that a nace should occur. And then he should get his panach. He's saying, "Alola nivrel shem shady." That if that's the way it is by them, by teva, so it should apply to my life as well, because they were nivrel shem shady. So it means what he's saying is, you understand what he's saying is that should be a natural thing. That just like they have by nature their panach, I should also have by nature panach shlo b'tzar. Because my level of existence is superior, and once a person is on a certain level of existence, all those things that they need in order to attain their goal are built into the Bria, that's the way it should happen. Because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu Atzua Tam and Paolo, and everything God created is perfect, so therefore, insofar as Adam is concerned, that's a natural thing. This is a natural route, that's the way it should be. That's what Rav Shim ben Lazar is saying. He's not saying that God should somehow create a mess and give him a... That's not what he said. He says, because otherwise, what is he asking from the Behemah and the Chaya? And the Chaya is not a mess, it's not a Teva. He's saying that I also should have the Teva, that this should be the result, this should occur. Because that my level of existence is such that the Bria, which is an expression of God's will, should naturally encompass my panasa. So he says, but why isn't that so? He says, Ela shaharati masai v'kipachti of panasa. He says, the reason is because I deviated from the proper level of existence. Which means to say, what he's saying is that if he were on the proper level of existence, so then his panasa would be just as natural as the panasa of the bird and the wild animal. That's what that's what Rav Shim ben Lazar is saying, which is basically the same idea. In other words, that the derech, when the Ramban says that the Ramban says the tzaddik the yochid ha'oved tikasher yia ha'isha chosid shomer kol mitzvah Hashem alakav yishmarei ha'kel menachuli va'akros hashiku yimalu yomal b'tova. What the Ramban means is not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will intervene derech neis. You see, they will intervene and give him whatever he needs and just prevent anything bad from happening to him as an external, as we would view an external intervention. That's not what he means. What he means is it's simply on that level of existence brings with it all these things. And the Ashgacha is kolel. Multifarious is a multifarious type of expression. Many, many things are included. But there's only one necessity. The necessity is that the individual be on that path, on that derech of thinking and that way of life. And if he's on that derech and that way of life, then the things naturally occur to him. See, that's what Taisa says. That kamsa bar kamsa chor v'shalayim shebotcho arov tovosam v'shalvosam levayeshes bar kamsa. What Rabbi Yechanan meant was that over here they had this false security. And the false security, you see, the false security, that's not the derech. They were off the path. Because they were impressed by the situation that was closest to them, like we spoke about before. Right now they were b'shalva, they didn't have to worry about anything. So they felt this tremendous security, and the security wasn't based anymore on their relationship with God. It was based on what they saw. That thing which was closest to them, which was observable, they put their faith in that. So therefore they lost the derech, they lost the whole way of life, which is the way of life of realizing that everything simply depends upon God, and the only thing the person has to be concerned with is his relationship with God, and which demands, of course, that everything the person does is with chokhmah. So again, the Rambam says, the Rambam quotes the pasuk where he says that people who don't earn a panasa, but first they reverse the whole derech achayim, and then first they get married, and then they build a house, and then himself yomav is machzor panasa. So he says that's a derech atipshin, and they don't follow the way of chachma. So that's the way of klola. So a person that abandons the way of chachma is not on the path. So the Rambam says, that was the proper way. Vayhi David b'chol derachav maskil v'Hashem imo. It doesn't mean to say, it's not two things, it's one thing. Vayhi David b'chol derachav maskil v'Hashem imo doesn't mean that he was a big tzaddik and HaKadosh Baruch Hu stood around him, so to speak, and just patched in all the holes. Now, it means this is one derach. Vayhi David b'chol derachav maskil, because he was a chacham in everything he did, and he followed Chochmas Hashem, it was the true Chochma, so Hashem Imo was natural. It was a natural thing, Hashem Imo. You see, that's a result of living on that level of existence. So that's what the Ramban calls the Nisim Nistarim. Nisim Nistarim. That's not Nisim Goyim. That means anything that results from that Derech HaChayim is simply a part of the way things work. When an individual's existence stands in a certain manner in relationship to God, then that's the way things go. So that's but once the person deviates from that way, like they did over here, with regard to kamsa bar kamsa, but they relied on the immediate cause, that which they were able to see with their own eyes, then they lost the derech. Once the derech was lost, so then the whole hashkacha was gone. That's what it means, a kamsa bar kamsa chor v'shalayim. That they really lost the path. Ashrei adam afachi tamid. They lost the ashrei adam afachi tamid, which means that the individual knows that you can't rely on these false securities. These things are just illusions. They're just figments, screen figments, and therefore you can't rely on them. And a person is mafachi tamid, you realize you can't rely on that. So what is he mefache? He's mefache on his Torah. Mefache on his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then he's on that path. If he feels a full security, then he's off the path. And then it brings the Chorban. So when Rabbi Yechanan said later, that it was on the Sanusa Shal Rav Sechaya ben Afkulis that was responsible for it, that was a different kind of a cause. See, once you lose the Ashgacha, so then you're thrown into a different world, into a world of chance. But in the world of chance is also a cause. So Rabbi Yochanan traced the second cause was in the world of chance already. The first cause was a kamsa ba kamsa chorish alayim was because they lost the whole approach. They lost the whole approach. They lost the whole approach and the Ashkacha wasn't there. And that's why they brought about the Churban. The second one was an individual thing, that he made a decision, and because he was defective insofar as his midos were concerned, it wasn't exactly perfect, so therefore he gave the wrong decision. He should have done away with Bar Kamsa, and he was too nice, he didn't want to do it. So he gave the wrong decision. But the underlying mistake was the fact that they lost the whole approach, the relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they lost the Ashrei Adam Mafachei Tamid. They lost the Ashrei Adam Mafachei Tamid. Of course, you could say that both causes work together, because you could say that if they didn't have that full sense of security, so then they would have weighed the question of doing away with Bar Kamsa, they would have weighed it differently, and that also would have affected the outcome. Because when you make a decision, a lot of factors there. If you feel very secure, so you're in a different position, and you have one element to pass judgment on, you pass judgment on it, you have a different frame, a different base. But if you're a mafache tamid, you don't have the sense of security, then you might not allow the Sharab Zachariah might not have won the day, because there would only be one element. So everything, of course, is intertwined. But the basic idea of Akamta Bar Kamsa Chardesh Alayim really is that Ashrei Adam Mafachei Tamid, they lost the derech. They lost the derech, which means the whole approach to the relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the real idea of Betachon. Now, this brings us to the last point I wanted to mention. I started with the question, so what is really lost by the Churban HaBayis? So the answer is really that by the way, this also has to do with the strange way that we look at an enemy. How do we look at an enemy? On the one hand, we look at the enemy, we take him seriously, because we wage war. As a matter of fact, the Rambam says that why do we lose the second bias was lost? Because, he says, because they were superstitious, and they counted on the very superstitious ways. Instead of really using chachma in waging war, they relied on superstitious practices. And he says that's why they lost the war. So, of course, this is all part of the deterioration that's involved in losing the Derech Hashem. But the whole idea of the Middosh, what is the idea of a Middosh? Ultimately, Middosh or Shachanti B'Socham is really the idea that this successful way that an individual can live by, and living in that way, can secure for himself the ability to attain the real good. And Ummah also has that ability. A nation, according to Yahadus, is an entity. It is a reality. The Torah does recognize more than the Yachid. The Torah does recognize as a reality an Ummah. A nation isn't just a lot of individuals, but a nation is an entity of existence for man. So what Yahadus says is Alam Dinos Bayomah. That's why there's a judgment on Medinos. But the Medina is a reality. So an Ummah is a reality. So Yahadus really gave the way through the Torah. Yahadus gave the way that an Ummah can live in close proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a certain closeness to God. And if the Ummah achieves that level, so also we Middash Shachandim, so again, all the brachas that are mentioned in the Torah, that's what the Ramban says. That's the same Ramban. Okay, so what the Ramban is saying is that there is, and he says, and it's true for the Yachid as well. It means that there are two different realities of human existence. One is the reality of existence of an Umar, and what is the reality of existence of a Yachid. And just like the Yachid, if he lives in a certain way he's under the Ashkacha, and things naturally fall in place, so too the Umar, the nation, that lives in a certain manner, and that is through Torah, of course, has a certain relationship with God and the Sati Gishmech and Beitom, and all those things naturally occur, like if Shimon Loza said, that it's the Kipachti is Masoi, but if it wasn't Kipachti, Hariosi is Masoi, Kipachti is Panasosi. If it wasn't Hariosi is Masoi, then it wouldn't happen. The same thing is true with an Umar. So what is really Midosh? Possibly Midosh Hashem. And you see, by the way, you see what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Moshe Rabbeinu really pointed that out in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, where he says, in yesterday's Pasha, especially then, with regard to Rushas Aretz, so Moshe Rabbeinu starts off, of course, a very hard parsha to understand. It starts off, "Oh, Moshe bears the Torah of Sleiman," and then you don't know where he's going. But he says, the first thing he says, after the Shoftim, he says, "Vanisa mechorev, vanelach is kol amidbar agol vanor shel yisam derech ha'amori, kashet tzivar Hashem olkeinu l'son of anor kadosh banea. V'omar alechem, bosam ad ha'ar ha'amori, asher Hashem olkeinu nosei lonu. Rei nosam ad Hashem olkecho l'fonecho asorot olei reish. And Rashi says that if they would have done it at that time, Rashi says that they wouldn't have required any Klei Zion. Say over here, Rashi, or says it to one. And Rashi says it. He says that if they would have done it then, there would be no need for Klei Zion. They would have just gone up, because it doesn't say Alei V'Yilochem V'Horish. It says Alei Reish. So Rashi says, had they done it at that time, they wouldn't have required any kind of arms. Yeah. So skip on Rashi. But anyways, So what does it mean? I mean, how could it be that the whole nation is just going to go up and they wouldn't require any?
The
Rashi's
on Pasuk
Ches,
Rabbi.
Where's it? Sorry, where?
Pasuk
Ches. Pasuk Ches.
Yes.
Bo Rishu. Yeah, that's a Bo Rishu. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right, That's right in the beginning. Yeah, Bo Rishu. Bo Rishu, Pasuk Ches. Bo Rishu, Ein Mar Bedov, Ein Chem Tzichem Bo Mokho. Ilu Lo Shochem Lagun Lo Tzichem Lo Klei Zayin. Interesting thing. So, what is he really pointing out? What is Moshe Rabbeinu pointing out? I mean, he's pointing out very clearly that if they would have gone on the level of existence, which was the proper relationship with God, they wouldn't have had to do anything. They just would have gone up there, and the other nations would have left. They left. What do you mean? That would be the biggest nest, or a bigger nest than the existence of Zion. Yeah, but the answer is no. The answer is very simple. The answer is because there are many, many factors involved. Like you see, for like the Pasuk says, you see what happened in Yericho was that Rochav Azana said that you don't have anything to worry about, because the spirit of the people is broken. So you see, when the spirit of the people are broken, so then the way you defeat your enemy really is to have your enemy defeat himself. That's the best way to defeat them. So the truth of the matter is that everybody knew what was happening to the Jews, but Moshe Rabbeinu said in the Tefillah by the Raglam that this is your nation, Asha'at HaHolech, Lefneim Ba'amah Reish, Ba'amah Da'anan Yomam, Ba'amah Reish Loila, Ba'amah Reish Loila, Ba'amah Reish Loila, Ba'amah Reish Loila. So everybody knew. That was Amah Da'anan Yomam and Ba'amah Reish Loila. So they wouldn't have needed Klei Zion, because a battle essentially is a matter of morale. If the people have no morale, they can't do battle. It was only 40 years later was the Malkul Yisroel in the band. It certainly would have been after Yitzhak Mitzrayim. It would have been that way, and they would have gone up, and they would have they wouldn't have even had to do battle. So.